What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, we're going to be recapping a really, really, really good draft, a really strong showing for Will Dawkins in entering year three in the NBA draft for the Wizards, a team that entered with aspirations of a guy like Ace Bailey, really high-ceiling prospect, falling into their laps at six. All reports indicated that. And they end up, you know, not having a chance to take him when Utah swoops in and gets him there at five. The Wizards sit back and take Trey Johnson at six. They also trade back from 18 to 21, get Will Riley, pick up some extra picks in the process. And I'm going to be here to break it all down, tell you why Johnson was a great pick at six, why Will Riley makes sense in terms of the archetype and types of players Will Dawkins covets, you know, in that second back end of the first round and in that range. And also want to talk about kind of where the Wizards roster lies. I just came off of Twitter Spaces that went very well. If you are listening to this and you were also in the Twitter Spaces, then you rock for sticking with me throughout all the types of content. But I got a lot of intriguing questions there that I wasn't going to talk about in the pod, but it seems like a lot of Wizards fans want some answers, and hopefully I can provide them. So we're going to talk about the allocation of minutes with some of the young guys. How can, you know, a guy like AJ Johnson find minutes? You know, what's their plan going to be in terms of the starting five? Are the veterans going to play a lot? Will there be more trades? And also to round out the show, talk about the second round, because the Wizards now have 43 in round two. Talk about some of the available guys that I think they should target. But where I want to start is kind of at the top with the Ace Bailey saga, because Kristen Peek reported that the Wizards were the only team to have a private workout with Bailey. My guy Troy Halliburton reported that the Wizards actually flew out to Atlanta to, I guess, have a meeting or a workout with Ace Bailey, which is weird because ESPN also reported that they still didn't think Bailey had any workout. So I'm not sure what happened, but it's clear that Bailey had three preferred destinations: Washington at the top, then probably New Orleans and Brooklyn. And didn't work out for Utah. Made it clear he didn't want Charlotte or Utah. Charlotte took notes. They took the hint and they took Khan at four, and seemingly you thought Utah would pass as well. I mean, I was pretty surprised when I saw Bailey, you know, was selected fifth overall. It seems like, you know, he didn't want to go there. His camp didn't want him there, and Utah basically said, "Sucks for you. We're taking you, and we're gonna make it work." So that's what they decided to do. Which works great for me, because like I said, and I've been maintaining the entire pre-draft process, Trey Johnson is a better player than Ace Bailey. Prospect-wise, maybe you're more upside-leaning, and maybe Ace has a higher ceiling than Johnson. I understand that. But Johnson's the better player. He was far and away better in college. Team was far more successful. And from what I heard, completely killed it in his pre-draft workout. So the Wizards sit there at six, and like I said, a dream scenario where Edgecombe goes three, Knipple goes four. You're sat there if you're the Wizards. And no matter what Utah does, if Brooklyn jumps you to get a guy like Bailey, you're guaranteed Trey Johnson. And if Johnson goes five or Fears goes five, you're guaranteed Bailey. Win-win. Bailey goes five, and the Wizards sat there at six, say, you know what? We'll take it. Give me Trey Johnson. Give me the 20 points per game as a freshman in the SEC. The SEC, the hardest conference in college basketball. Trey Johnson led the SEC in scoring as a freshman, shot 40% from three, really good movement shooter, really good in terms of creating his own shot, can score around the rim as well. He's just a bucket getter, but he's also a bucket getter that can kill you if you leave him open from three. So, you know, the number three player on my board, I even had Edgecombe over a guy like Bailey as well. So the fact that the Wizards get him at six, don't have to trade up, don't have to give up extra assets, and in my opinion, get the third best player in this draft, that's a phenomenal start. And if that was the only pick they made, I would have been really content. You know, Trey Johnson is just as pure of a score as you can get. And boy, do the Wizards need that influx of scoring from their youth. I mean, dead last the last 2 years in offensive rating and offensive efficiency. If you listen to the pod, you've heard me say that stat many, many times, but it's true. This is a team that ranked 27th in points per game last year. They have good defenders, but they need guys that can also go get them a bucket when they need it. They need guys that can make other teams pay for leaving them open from three. Good floor spacing as well. And so I think Trey Johnson slots right in, you know, 19.9 points per game as a freshman at Texas, leading that team, by the way. Burden of the offense on his back led him to the tournament. 3.1 boards per game, 2.7 assists. Again, I don't see him as an on-ball creator or as a point guard. I see him as an off-ball two guard. A lot of people ask for comps, and if you don't like Bradley Beal, you might hate this, but If you understand Bradley Beal averaged 30 points per game two times and is a multi-time all-star, you would understand that's a good comp for Trey Johnson. I caught glimpses of a Florida Beal, rookie Beal, when I saw Johnson play. And if he becomes a guy like Brad was in his prime in Washington before the big contract and all that, that's a really good pick for the Wizards at number six. 42.7% from the field, 39.7% from three, 87% from the line. So just a great shooter across the board. Like I said, can go get you a bucket. He's a really good scorer. The defense is the one downside to Johnson. But what I like about that is when he was asked in the pre-draft process, what is your biggest flaw? He said it's defense. You know, he's self-aware about it. He said, look, you can't, you know, obviously teach me how to be 7 foot. You can't teach me how to jump out of the gym, but you can teach me how to be a better defender. And I think half the battle, maybe even more on defense, is IQ and it's effort. And if he's someone that's willing to put in the work, like I've seen from all of his interviews, he's a guy that puts in the work. Killed it in his pre-draft workout, shot the lights out. He's a gym rat from all I've read. So I have no doubts that he's going to do everything he can to become a much better defender. But I think the Wizards needed a bucket getter. They needed a shooter. And they get both of that in really good value with Johnson at number six. He's still only 19 years old, 6'5", 190, obviously went to Texas. So those are some of his measurables, but arguably the best shooter in the draft alongside Knipple falls to the Wizards at number six. Home run pick, really good start to this draft. Add him to a really good collection of young talent. You got him and Bub Carrington as that backcourt tandem. AJ Johnson maybe can come along as another younger guard. Certainly, I think learning from CJ McCollum will be tremendous for AJ Johnson, you know, for Trey Johnson. McCollum's lethal in that mid-range. Bub learning from him, another mid-range guy, will be great. CJ is, you know, can knock down the three. He's a three-level scorer. I think that's what, you know, I'd like Johnson to be similar size. So I think that's a really good vet to learn behind. And I'm just really hype about not only the fit, but the talent the Wizards are adding in Johnson. He's a better player than Bailey, whether you like it or not. You can argue upside is higher on Bailey's end, but Johnson's the better prospect. He's the better player. Number three on my board, Wiz get him at six. Really, really, really good start to the draft. Again, you got that for the Wiz. I tweeted out it's a home run pick. I so wholeheartedly think that. And I also tweeted out, I had this at the ready because I thought they were either going to take Bailey or Johnson. So I had some highlights on tap. I can't put the video on screen, and if you're listening, you wouldn't be able to see it anyway. But nonetheless, I tweeted out a video on my Twitter. You can go look at it. Trey Johnson scoring 39 points on 7 of 11 from 3 on the road against an Arkansas team that made it pretty far in the NCAA tournament. That's not easy to do. And by the end of the game, they knew he was getting the ball, and he somehow, some way, was still knocking down the toughest shots. I think Wizards fans are really intrigued by that video. And if you certainly want to know more about Johnson, you can watch it because that video alone just shows the upside and the talent he has as a scorer, as a shooter, and somebody that can kind of carry the burden on an offense. So really excited about that Johnson pick. I could talk about it all night. Maybe some quotes in here while I'm at it. My guy Chase Hughes tweeted out that Trey said in his post-draft media that Will Dawkins showed him clips of him taking plays off on I guess, defense and offense during his visit to DC. And Trey said that's something that stuck with him, that motivated him to be great. Again, he's a guy that from all accounts wants it. He likes being in the gym. He wants to get better, puts his head down, and he hoops. And that's someone that I really like and really fit the culture they're building in DC. So really like that, that Will did that. And that, you know, Johnson's self-aware about, you know, his flaws, certainly, you know, I'm not a good defender, he said, but I can be. Also, if you saw his draft fit, he was wearing, shorts, like suit shorts. So I guess he's going to be a well-dressed guy, or if you think it's poorly dressed, but he has fashion, I guess. So if you're big into that with the fit outfits and the fit picks, the Wizards post, you know, he might be up there and one of the guys to watch for there. And so now if you're the Wizards, you get Trey Johnson at six, a guy that I didn't think would be there. Great start, but now you got to lock back in, right? Because there's a lot of trades going on. Derek Queen is a guy that a lot of people liked. He fell to 13, but the Pelicans swooped him up. You know, certainly Yoan Berenguer was someone I thought they might target, just a really high upside shot blocking center, maybe someone that they thought could fit next to Sar. He goes the pick before them. And it's possible that that's who they wanted or someone that went before, because they ended up trading back from 18 to 21. A lot of talent still on the board. Yakachonis, Newell, you know, were still there. Two guys I thought they should target based on value as well. And the Wizards decided, you know what, maybe the guy we wanted was taken. Maybe the guy that we want in Will Riley, I guess, who they eventually took, will still be there at 21 based on the intel we have. Let's trade back and pick up some assets. And they do just that. Utah trades up. They clearly wanted Walter Clayton Jr. Great player, by the way. But again, you know, I'm sure he wasn't too high on the Wizards board, or maybe not high enough. And Utah really liked him. So Utah trades up with Washington. And the good part about the Wizards is they traded out of the second round with the pool trade yesterday, in trading number 40. And now they sit here and they pick up number 43 from Utah, plus second round picks in 2031 and 2032. So that's 3 second round picks plus the 21st pick for 18. Just to move back 3 slots, you pick up 3 extra seconds. And I understand you got the people that say, Greg, second round picks don't matter. Greg, when's the last time a second round pick actually worked out? They're not going to draft all of those guys. Like, they have 17 tradable seconds through 2032. They are not going to draft 17 guys in the second round from now until 2032. That's not going to happen. They're going to trade a lot of them. You saw Utah trading up a couple spots with some of the seconds that they acquired to move up and get the guy they want. That's how the Wizards can use them, to accumulate them, to move up and get some guys they want. They could even, you know, move up in the second round from 43 with some of the seconds they have to get a guy they want that maybe falls in their lap. And certainly we'll talk about the talent that is still there. You can also use them at the deadline. You saw the Wizards got multiple for Valanciunas. What if it's the other way around? The Wizards have so many seconds and they're trying to contend. At the deadline, they can trade some for good veterans that they want to add to their team. There is good value in second-round picks. I'm trying to get that through your head. If you don't get it now, please do. The Wizards aren't going to just use all of them to draft their own prospects. They're going to use them to trade up. They're going to use them for veterans down the line. So I'm pretty happy with that move, especially because, you know, I wasn't too high on Walter Clayton. I like him, but I don't know if I would have taken him that early. And the Wizards move back to 21, pick up 3 seconds, and they get Will Riley. Will Riley's a wing, a high upside wing at that, out of Illinois. And if you don't know Will Riley, here's a little bit of a background. 19 years old, 6'8", 186-pound wing out of Illinois. The 6'8 size is great. The 186 is a really slender build. He's a skinny, skinny dude. But again, you can always add muscle. You can put on weight. That's not an issue. He has the size that you can't teach in terms of height. Good wingspan. So I think the Wizards just viewed him as another high upside wing. You know, I saw a lot of draft comps for Will Riley to Keyshawn George of last year. So it makes sense that the Wizards like him because they clearly traded up for George last year. The Wizards are trying to stockpile wings that they think can maybe, you know, shoot the three ball well. Riley shot it at 32.6%, which in college, you know, that's not too bad of a clip. 43% from the field, 72% from the free throw line, 12.5 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists per game for Will Riley. So certainly has some upside there. In the last 10 games entering, you know, going through the Big Ten tournament and into the NCAA tournament, I'd argue he was better than Yakachones for Illinois. I'd argue Will Riley was their best player. So certainly if you look at the stretch that he put together towards the end of his campaign, he was very good. Very good offensive player, good shot creator. I think he could create his own shot, but I also think he can play off the ball as a wing that hopefully adds that consistent three ball. Adds, you know, the weight is an issue. He needs to get a lot stronger if he wants to be a good, versatile, switchable defender like George is. But I'm not concerned about that. The Wizards clearly view him as a high upside wing. You can never have too many wings in the modern NBA. And so the Wizards move back 3 slots and they still get a really good player, pick up 3 extra seconds. You know, I was really a big fan of that. Now, I would have taken Asa Newell. He was a lottery guy for me. He was available at this range. I thought he would have fit pretty well next to Sar. But the Wizards decided not to do it. He went 2 picks later, I believe, to Atlanta. But again, I'm not going to harp on that too much. I do like Will Riley. This is probably the beginning, I'd say, of his draft range, but certainly not a reach for the Wizards. You pick up extra picks. You take Will Riley. Pretty big fan of that as well. And I want to pull up a quote from that Chris Miller got from Will Riley, or on Will Riley, I should say, from his coach Brad Underwood at Illinois. Underwood said, quote, Will Riley is a very high IQ player, but he's one of the elite hard shot makers I've coached. Just has the ability to put the ball in the basket. I was fortunate as an assistant and coached Michael Beasley. And as I've said, Will's the second best offensive player that I've coached, end quote. So pretty high praise. I mean, Beasley say what you will, but always a really talented offensive player, can always get a bucket. And to get praised, you know, put in that realm by Underwood, you know, high praise on Will Riley, certainly, as well. The scouting report on Will Riley that I saw from CBS, CBS analyst Colin Ward Henniger said, I legitimately think he is a top 10 talent, called Will Riley the steal of the draft. So again, more high praise on Will Riley. I'm trying to find a quote. I thought I had a quote from my guy, Bijan Todd, on Riley. Here we go. Bijan Todd said, or I guess tweeted this out. This is a quote from Will Riley after the draft. Riley said, quote, I'm a very versatile player. I have very high IQ. I like to make the right reads. I'm also a very coachable guy, super hard worker. I'm just going to be bring a lot of passion to the team, and it's going to be great. End quote. So seems like a, you know, a good kid that kind of, you know, coachable, like he said, high IQ, makes the right reads, you know, clearly understands hopefully his role in the league. George bought into that 3-and-D role. You know, and so when guys buy into their role, it's certainly nice, especially on the wing. And I think Will Riley can certainly be a guy that goes ahead and does that. So really, really excited about the acquisition of Riley, the acquisition of Johnson. To recap it, the Wizards stayed put at 6. There was a lot of rumors that some people might jump them into the top 5. They don't. With Ace Bailey gone, they get a really, really good scoring shooting guard in Trey Johnson. They then trade back from 18 to 21, pick up 3 extra second round picks, and still get a really solid wing, high upside wing, 19-year-old Will Riley at 6'8", 32% from 3. And they also pick up in the process 2031 second, 2032 second from Utah, and the number 43 pick in the 2025 NBA draft. And that'll be Thursday. So I guess by the time this is posted today, for round 2 of the draft, you could see a trade up possibility there for the Wizards. Maybe they stay put, but I'm glad that they were able to, you know, acquire another pick in this year's draft, especially with the talent that's still available. And now we can move forward to, okay, Greg, now that you said that, what talent is still available? And it's a little difficult, right? Because, you know, certainly 13 picks is a while to get to if you're the Wizards sat there at 43. But you never know who's going to fall to your range, right? I didn't think Rashear Fleming would be on the board. He's probably the number one guy for me. You got Maxime Reynaud from Stanford, really good offensive player, 20-10 guy there. Really, really intrigued by him. Maybe he's gone, but certainly, you know, someone to take a flyer on. Noah Penda, really good defender. Adu Thierro, really athletic, you know, guy. I think he could be a good defender in the NBA. Ryan Kalkbrenner, you know, someone who I think is going to be a staple in somebody's front court for years to come at 7. I think 7'1", maybe taller, but he's just a brick wall. Really, really good rim protector. Maybe the best interior rim protector in the draft. But a player that I think, you know, the Wizards need front court depth. I think it'd be a nice, you know, guy to take. You know, really high ceiling guy to take there at 43 if he falls. Jameer Watkins, really good motor on that guy out of FSU. I like him. Chaz Lanier, great shooter out of Tennessee. Someone maybe they look to go with. You certainly Eric Dixon. My guy Matt Moderno is pretty high on him. Tyrese Proctor. You got Sion James, both those guards out of Duke. So there's really, really good talent that's still available, still on the board, that'll be there by the time the Wizards pick at number 43. Time will only tell what they, you know, inevitably decide to do there. If they trade up, they trade out, they trade back. Will Dawkins likes to make trades in the draft, so we'll see, you know, what ultimately the Wizards do. But that's kind of the thing. Also, another quote here. Will Dawkins just said that Trey Johnson and Will Riley, quote, wanted to be here, and that was important to the team. My guy Bijan Todd, always there with the quotes. He tweeted that one out. Will Dawkins said that he liked that the Wizards added 2 skilled wings in Trey Johnson and Will Riley. That's from my guy Chase Hughes. So again, just kind of wrapping it up on that. And I'll have more about the Dawkins presser, I guess, later when I get to listen to it, when I'm not recording a pod while it's going on. But nonetheless, the Wizards just killed the first round. I couldn't be more excited about what they're going to add with Johnson. The pairing of him and Bub, both 19 years old in the front court, in the back court for years to come. I love that pairing. I think they both play off of each other really well. And obviously adding Riley, you know, to a plethora of wings. You already have Bilal. You already have Keyshawn. You know, you have the talent there. It's just a matter of, can you convert on it? And here's the young core. I tweeted this out. But the Wizards young core, 19-year-olds, Trey Johnson, Will Riley, Bub Carrington. 20-year-olds, Bilal Coulibaly, Alex Sarr, AJ Johnson. 21, Keyshawn George. 22, Tristan Vukcevic. 23, Colby Jones and Justin Champagny. Like, that is how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys all under 23 that are part of this team's young core. And they have 43 again tomorrow, so they could add someone else that could be a part of that young core as well. And on top of that young core, you have good veterans in Smart, Middleton, Olynyk, McCollum. You know, you certainly have those 30-plus-year-old vets that can help, you know, mentor these guys. And so minutes are going to be hard to come by. And that was kind of a theme of my Twitter spaces, is the allocation of minutes. You know, I had a lot of people ask, like, Greg, you know, how is AJ Johnson going to even see the floor? Colby Jones, how is he going to see the floor? They might not early on. You know, if I'm being truthful, you saw this again last year. Like, Brogdon played a decent bit when he was healthy. You know, when they had, you know, certainly other veterans like Middleton, when he came over, and Smart, when they were healthy, they played. Valanciunas started a lot of games. When the veterans are healthy, they're going to play them. Like, they're going to try to at least, you know, compete, maybe not win, but they're going to throw their best lineups out there, at least to begin the year, build that trade value. So I think it might be hard for AJ Johnson to crack the rotation. Colby Jones, certainly, to crack the rotation. It might, you know, it's probably going to be hard even in the beginning for Will Riley to crack the rotation. But again, if you're talented enough, you'll play. And if you want to play as a rookie, look no further than the Wizards. Three of the top five rookies in minutes per game last year played on the Wizards. The top two played on the Wizards. So this is a team that likes to play their young guys. They're really not afraid to throw them out there, let them make mistakes, let them get some minutes and get some experience when it comes to that type of stuff. But you know, certainly an intriguing young core of 10 guys that the Wizards have built in just, you know, over 2 years of Will Dawkins and Michael Winger being at the helm. That was the first frequently asked question from fans that I just kind of tied in, is the logjam at guard. I guess, you know, you have Trey Johnson now. If you consider Bilal Coulibaly a guard, which I don't, you have him as well alongside Bub Carrington. You have AJ Johnson. You have Colby Jones. Champagny played some guard, but I view him as more of a forward. You have CJ McCollum. You have Marcus Smart. Like, you have a lot of guards, and there's not enough minutes to go around. I think McCollum certainly takes up a spot. Carrington takes up a spot. I think you'll see, you know, Trey Johnson play a lot, especially as a rookie. So maybe it's harder to come by for Colby Jones if he makes the roster to get minutes. It's maybe harder to come by for AJ Johnson, especially early on, to find minutes there. And that's okay, because AJ Johnson's still only 20 years old and has a way to go. But if you're getting your hopes up on them playing early in the season, playing over some of the older guys like Smart and McCollum, I wouldn't get your hopes up, because I doubt that happens. Another big question I got is what do you think after at least round one, the starting five is for the Wizards? Look, if I had to guess, I'd say Bub Carrington and CJ McCollum are your backcourt 1-2. You got Bilal at the 3, Middleton at the 4, Sarr at the 5. That just kind of makes sense. I think it's a good, solid starting five. You know, not going to blow anybody away, going to lose a lot of games. But like, Middleton and McCollum are two great vets. I think it will help the Wizards playing alongside good vets like them. You know, you could see Smart come off the bench. I certainly think Olynyk will play with the limited front court depth the Wizards have. You could insert Olynyk as that backup to Sarr, whether you play him at the 4, you play him as, a small ball 5. He's still got games. So I think you'll see a lot of the vets play a lot. I hopefully think you'll see Trey Johnson play a lot as a rookie as well, especially because the Wizards need scoring at the guard position. And yes, ultimately, I think the ideal thing would be for Johnson to move into, Trey Johnson that is, to move into that starting backcourt with Bub. But I think you'll have to wait a little bit for that to happen. I think CJ will probably take over the reins to begin the season. As it goes for minutes, like, you know, you'll have Keyshawn George probably coming off the bench. You know, you'll certainly have, you know, guys like Champagny who earn those minutes coming off the bench. You know, you still have Will Riley that can come in and take a role there. Colby Jones as well. But you also have Marcus Smart. You have Kelly Olynyk that'll come off the bench. Like, this is a pretty deep roster when it comes to everything that's not the front court / center position. And they'll address that in free agency. But it'll certainly be interesting to see kind of how the Wizards navigate minutes, how they navigate playing some of the younger guys, with also getting minutes for the older guys and the veterans, and building that trade value for them that they ultimately hope to do to move them for future assets. So those are some of the main questions, I guess, that I got. But nonetheless, like, what a good draft. And I try again, I'm not even trying to hype up the draft, but like, if you watch me, like, I'm not hyping up Trey Johnson. This is a guy that I've been consistently on as the third best player in this draft. The Wizards stay at six and they get him. Like, you can't blame me for being pretty ecstatic with that start. And then trading back when I guess your guy maybe wasn't there, picking up three extra seconds to add to your plethora of future seconds, that ammo you have that's so valuable in certain trades and move-ups and to acquire veterans. And you sit there and you move back three spots and you still get a really good high upside wing in Will Riley. You know, similar to Keyshawn George, think that they'll be really good pieces, you know, for years to come. A lot of people didn't like the Keyshawn George pick last year, didn't average that many points per game, was a relatively unknown player coming out of Miami. And so it was kind of a throw-in. And some could even consider that Keyshawn was the most consistent Wizards rookie last year. Some could argue he was the best defensive player on the team last year, was locking people up. So I just want to preface it with that. Like, Will Dawkins has a type. And if you see Will Riley as a similar player to Keyshawn George, that's a good thing, considering how good, how consistent Keyshawn George was as a rookie. So again, I don't want to hold you too long with the spaces. I don't want to ramble on. I talked for about an hour and a half, 2 hours on my Twitter spaces. So that's kind of a little pot in of itself on Twitter. So that's recorded. You can go on my profile and listen to that as well. If you really want to, you'll listen to more of me, which I don't blame you. I think my stuff is good. I'm just joking, by the way, but yeah, I certainly already kind of did a little bit of a mini one there. So I'm going to keep this to around 30 minutes here, but certainly a really good night for Will Dawkins and the Wizards. I called last year's draft a masterclass for Dawkins. I don't know if I'd go that far this year. I think the ability to get Johnson at six is certainly great value. I would have taken maybe some other routes where the Wizards went with Will Riley, but I like the pick. And don't get me wrong, that's not to say I don't. I do like a lot of guys that they passed on. But again, I liked Rashear Fleming a lot there at 18. They traded back, and Fleming's still there at 30. I guess at 31 technically. So clearly the Wizards know a lot more than me. They know what they're going to maybe do in the second round. So that's something to look for. It's a two-day draft now, so I think it starts at noon Eastern Standard Time tomorrow, or I guess Thursday would be today. But that's the second round. The Wizards will pick in the middle of it at number 43. Like I mentioned, a lot of intriguing prospects for them to choose from. They could trade up and get someone they want with all the seconds they have. They could trade back. They could trade out of it. If you remember, a couple years ago, they got the 35th pick, and then they ended up trading that to Chicago for a pair of second rounders. Like, so that's also what they could do, is trade out of it to pick up an extra second, you know, in the future, sometimes two. So certainly something to look for there. I'm excited now that there's something to at least talk about when it comes to tomorrow, and some intrigue to actually watch the draft. If you're a Wizards fan, certainly someone like me that wants to see what they do. That's an interesting thing, but I'm really glad that they took Riley, that they took, you know, Johnson. Like Will Dawkins said, they want to be here. They're two wings that the Wizards coveted. And I'm just really blown away by the way the Wizards, you know, seemingly are doing it right. Like, they're building this the right way. They have a lot of young pieces. And I'll end it on this. I've seen a lot of people say, well, Greg, they have 10 plus guys under 23. There's no way that all of them are going to stick. There's no way that all of them are going to get enough minutes to develop with that experience. Yes, you are correct there. The idea of this rebuild is to get as many darts as you can to throw out the board and hope you hit a bullseye. Hope as many stick and rack up as many, I guess, points, for lack of a better term, as you will. The Wizards are trying to draft all of these young guys. They're trying to hit on as many picks as they can because they know, you know, they have $100 million plus in cap space after that pool trade for 2026, but they haven't been an attractive free agent destination. So if they have to acquire those guys via trade, if they have to develop their own talent, they'll do whatever it takes. But it's certainly a really good start, adding some really great pieces with four first-rounders last year, adding in two really phenomenal picks this year in Trey Johnson and Will Riley, high upside prospects, great scorers that can get buckets, adding on to a team that desperately needs them. And so I'm really excited about not only the talent, but the fit as well on the team. Talking from a BPA perspective, I'm a BPA guy, but the fit for both of them is pretty seamless. You can always use wings in Riley, but I think the Wizards had a real need at guard, especially secondary guard alongside Bub. And I think they hit a home run with Johnson. So certainly really intrigued. I feel like I'm kind of rambling on here. So I'm going to cut the episode here at around half an hour. Thank you for following along with all the tweets throughout the night. Always fun to cover the draft. Always fun for you Wizards fans to follow along. None of this would be possible obviously without you guys, you know, listening, watching to the pod, being in the Twitter spaces, interacting with all my tweets throughout, my coverage throughout. So I had a lot of people thank me in the spaces today. And while I appreciate that, you know, I really should be the one thanking you guys because you make this fun. So I'm glad the Wizards community, you know, is able to find a place to kind of come together and share their thoughts. There's not many people in the Wizards community compared to other teams, but there's a lot of great people. The quality is better than the quantity for the Wizards in that space. So again, thank you guys for your support on the tweets, on the pod. Be sure to subscribe. We're on the road to hitting 500 subscribers. YouTube's growing every day. So be sure if you're listening and you haven't subscribed, you know, go ahead and subscribe. It would be really cool to grow that count as we move here on YouTube. But again, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Let me know in the comments below, now that we have that feature on YouTube, what do you think of the picks? Do you like Trey Johnson at six? Are you upset that they didn't get Ace Bailey? What do you think about Will Riley, a high upside swing that they take, another wing at 21 trading back? Would you have taken Ace Newell? Would you have taken, you know, Danny Wolf? Would you have taken someone else there? I'm excited and intrigued to hear what you guys have to say. And also, who do you want at 43? You know, for my real draft gurus that know their stuff about the second round, who do you want to take at 43? Do you want to see them trade up, trade back, keep the pick and take someone? Let me know in the comments, and I'm excited to read all them, interact with you guys, and give my thoughts and my responses. So again, that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for following along with the draft coverage. I'll be back tomorrow, hopefully around the same time, maybe a little earlier, with my reaction to day two of the NBA draft. The Wizards, again, have number 43. They take Trey Johnson at six. They trade back three spots, pick up 3 seconds, and take Will Riley at number 21. I'd give it an A. I really like the draft. And if you did too, let me know down in the comments below. But again, that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks as always for listening, guys. Go Wiz.